Our gracious Father, we want to say thank you for this time of year. Although every single day, Lord Jesus is the King of all things, this time of year, we're helped to focus on him and all that he's done. And so this morning, would you please speak to us? We need you to speak to our hearts and move them and move our minds as well, and help us to walk out of here more convinced and persuaded by who King Jesus is and what he's done. Amen. This guy named Sergeant Lloyd Ponder, who at the age of 18 in 1939 joined the US military. He was just in the US for a while. The bombing of Pearl Harbor happened, and then he was shipped off to Manila. When he got to Manila, things went a bit pear-shaped. He got caught, and then he ended up being a POW, a prisoner of war. Needless to say, it was pretty horrific, and it got worse. At one point, he got put into a poorly converted freighter ship with 1,600 other POWs, and they were fed through a grate with water and food lowered in buckets down into the cargo hold of the ship. He went off to another POW camp, and there, seeing atrocities on a daily basis were sort of par for the course for Sergeant Ponder. He said what was most important to him was to keep thinking about having a burning desire to do what he could to survive. Regardless of what others do, he said, grit your teeth and do what needs to be done. And he remembers thinking, if anyone is going to get out of this, it's got to be me, surely. He was hanging on to whatever he could to try and get through, looking forward to something that would help him to persevere through those days and finally kind of make it to the other end. He was really hoping that he would make it. I wonder what it is that you look forward to help you get through, what it is you hope in order to help you make it. Because, you know, it's the end of the year and it's been one of those years where people are looking forward to sort of something kind of different. I've had this repeated conversation over the last few weeks where people have used the same wording. I had it again this morning at early church. I feel like I'm limping to the end of the year. And maybe it feels like that in a lot of years, but this year, in many ways, feels a bit more like that. So maybe you're just hoping for a reset. Not just years like this, how do you get through things when school is not so good? Or when work is not so good? Or when home is not so good? What are you looking forward to that will finally see you brought through? Because I reckon there are times when the kind of things we hope for are actually missing something. The hopes that we have are not as big or as full as they could be. And this Christmas, we've been talking about how there are some things missing that the Lord Jesus actually delivers in full. And today we're looking about how Christian hope, how Christmas hope, is stronger and more powerful than any other hope you could have. Because there is a type of hope, it's a common hope. It's not Christian hope. It's hope that, Ben referred to it earlier, it's hope that things will sort of just work out, that kind of fingers crossed hope. And the thing is, in the Bible, this kind of hope does appear. This hope that things will just go okay, this hope that, you know, it'll go like I want and that'll be good, a sort of wishful thinking. We see it in a few places in the Bible when the religious leaders are trying to catch Jesus. They've got these plans they're bringing together and they're sort of, their fingers crossed, they hope they'll catch Jesus out. And so they say in Luke chapter 20, keeping a close watch on him, they send spies who pretended to be sincere. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he said so they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor. We really want it to work. The Apostle Paul uses it too in the letter Romans we've been looking at in term 4. He says all of this stuff. At one point he says he really hopes that he gets to visit the people he's been writing to. If things sort of all go well, he'll get there. He says in Romans 15, I plan to visit when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through. This is one way the Bible and we use the word hope. And it's a little bit like a, you know, kind of a blind hope, really. It's a hope that's common, but doesn't work for the real stuff. It's a bit weak. You know, there's lots of hopes like that I have. Every Christmas I hope that I can sing Christmas carols, but then find out they were written in some time when people had an amazing vocal range. I hope every year that in rugby league the St. George Dragons will do very well. I hope the sermon doesn't go for too long. I hope I get that job done today. I hope Christmas is good. I hope they don't end up having a fight. I really hope the treatment works this time. These are all types of hope, aren't they? All hopes that we have. Hopes based on something where we really can't know the outcome. Hope that's awesome when it pays off. This is the sort of common everyday hope. But it's not entirely reliable. Christmas carols are hard to sing. St. George Dragons rarely do well. Sermons go for too long. Jobs don't get done. Christmas can be awful. They do fight, and often the treatments don't work. Friends, this is not the kind of hope we mean when we talk about Christian hope. This is not what Christian hope is. Christian hope is not crossing your fingers and wishing it will really work out. You know, this bloke, Lloyd Ponder, the prisoner of war, he really was hoping things would go well for him, but there was a time in his imprisonment where suddenly that kind of hope started to get a little bit concrete. It started to get some sort of flesh and bones about it. After years of awful mistreatment, late in 1944, what he saw was some B-29 bombers flying overhead. And finally, he saw something concrete that made his hope really come alive, because that could only mean one thing. And as the war neared its end, American planes started dropping food into the camp. This hope that might have been a sort of wishful thinking suddenly got skin and bones and flesh as he could see it. He could see the liberators. He could see the freedom coming. He could see salvation. He knew the day was near. And this is what happens at Christmas. The thing God's people had looked for suddenly got skin and bones and was before their eyes. Hope got skin. Jesus, their liberator, was born. You see, the Old Testament story of God's people, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, is that they had been chosen by God for his rescue plan. Things went well for a while, but then they went really pear-shaped. They were conquered by nation after nation for their kind of disobedience. They were scattered sort of across distant shores. And they were really looking forward to a liberator, a savior, someone who would deal with their sin and deal with their enemies. They couldn't wait for that one to come. We read it in places like Isaiah the prophet, who says, "In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on the earth. In his teaching, the islands, though scattered, will put their hope." And they waited for their savior. They waited for the liberator. And at times, I reckon it must have seemed a little bit like wishful thinking. Just fingers crossed that something will sort of happen one day. Which is why when the Saviour King they were waiting for started to come, things got serious. You know, Christmas approached, suddenly there's angels appearing and all sorts of amazing things happen with stars in the sky. Mary and Joseph are told their baby will be the flesh and blood version of all that their people had looked forward to. Matthew 1 verse 20, "She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." And Jesus is born. Must have been hard to believe for mum and dad. Your child is going to be the savior of the world. I'd just be happy enough if they ate dinner. Regardless, they did what everyone in their faith did. They took their baby to the synagogue to be dedicated, in a sense. And at the synagogue was a bloke working, a priest named Simeon. And Simeon was one of those blokes who was hoping so much for God's liberator. He was hoping that salvation would come and he never let go of it. One of the guys who would never stop talking about, he knew the Bible like the back of his hand. And this baby Jesus comes and God talks to Simeon and says, your hope's now got flesh. This is the one. Skin and bones. The liberator's here. And so Simeon takes the baby and he says, now he can die happy. Luke chapter 2 from verse 27, when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God saying, sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. At Christmas, this great hope of salvation became something they could see and touch. It was concrete right there before them. The liberator they'd all wanted was coming. A hope hundreds, thousands of years in the making. A big hope. One of the issues, I think, with hope these days, and it's certainly my hope at times, is I actually think our hope is there, but really small. I think we have a little bunch of hopes that often get fulfilled. I was doing a video call with someone the other day. While I was doing the video call, it went for about an hour. Three times someone was at the door. Every single time it was a package from Amazon or something. Three times. And I was reflecting on it and thinking, wow, we just live in a world where all of these things we really look forward to can be paid off really quickly. And actually, sometimes it's pretty fun. I order something, I hope for it, it gets there. Okay, I look for another thing, I'll order that, and I hope for it, and it gets there, and then I hope for this, and then it gets there, and there's little hope after little hope, and they're sort of delivered. Then there are other hopes we have that are kind of good. Hope for family safety, hope for health, hope for financial security, all of those, and they're often delivered in some way. But those hopes are a drop in the bucket of eternity. All those little hopes, how do they stack up on the day of our death? Certainly three packages in an hour won't deliver very much then. But those little hopes that we have, they just aren't going to get us through. They aren't going to deliver. They aren't going to show us the Lord who we follow. Those hopes won't carry us. But the great news of Christmas hope, of Christian hope, is that it can give you the boldness and patience to follow Jesus through anything. The thing that literally carried this POW, Lloyd Ponder, the thing that carried him was not fingers crossed kind of hope, but ultimately he really had hope in something. Not in himself. There was someone who he was absolutely persuaded would win the day. Years later, he was interviewed about his ordeal, and he talked about how strong he had to be, but really the thing that he talked about was that he was convinced his liberator would come. He was convinced his salvation would come. He was convinced his team would, in a sense, win. And it kept him going. He says times have changed, but there is always hope. He says, hope makes a difference. If you don't have hope, you're gone. Having hope can get you through anything. Nothing could convince him otherwise. This kind of hope, that someone is winning the day, being fully persuaded that someone can do what they promised, is the hope that Jesus brings. It's because he can and will do what he says that generates genuine Christian hope. Christmas hope. The first people who witnessed Jesus that Christmas, they did see him. They saw him as God's liberator. They saw him do powerful things. But the thing that really kicked off the Christian movement and set up Jesus as Lord was when he died on the cross for their sins, giving them hope of being saved from punishment with God. And not just that he was dead, but you know the Easter story, that he was resurrected, that he came to life. And this kind of hope their sins could be forgiven, and this hope death could be beaten, and this hope that sickness wasn't the end, finally got skin and bone when the Lord Jesus got out of the grave. And the Christian movement started not with a fingers crossed hope, but a confidence in the one who still lived and had conquered death. And they knew without that their hope was terrible. 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins, those who are dead in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we should be pitied above all people. But their hope was based on something they'd seen. Their hope was based on something they knew would come through. Their hope was based on the fact they knew King Jesus had won and would win. They knew that Christ had indeed been raised from the dead. So what is Christian hope? What hope does Christ, who came at Christmas, bring? Real hope. The hope that when you trust him, no matter how strong or weak your trust, it's his strength to deliver that will pay off. His strength to deliver from the punishment we deserve. His strength to deliver from the death that would otherwise win. His ability to bring the new life that overcomes the old. That new life with God was theirs, and their hope was not fingers crossed, wishful thinking. No, that would be missing something major. Their hope was the Lord Jesus who would come back and get them. And they waited boldly and patiently for him. In Romans 8:23, it says, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to God's family, the redemption of our bodies. In this hope, we are saved. I should say two things before I finish. I think one of the things hope does at Christmas and all the time is it gives you the ability to be a bit bold. I'll tell you why. You know, at Christmas, you'll be around all sorts of people. It's just often the reality of Christmas for a lot of people. So if I take my family for an example, on one side of our family, we've got people with a deep Christian heritage and they're a bit classy. Then there's the other side of the family. If you've seen the show Swamp People on Seven Mate or something like that, this is the side I really love. Love this side as well. But when you get together with them, it's very different. So this is about a Christian heritage, and you sort of assume a lot of things about Christmas, and you can be open about a lot of stuff. This side of the family, who I dearly love, part of me says, oh, I don't really want to talk about the Christian stuff or the church stuff there. I don't want to make it awkward, and I just sort of want to enjoy hanging out with them. But when I do that, something's missing. Because at Christmas, I'm remembering that my hope got flesh and bones, and that it's really there. And that it will get me through. And so actually, I want it to help me be bold. I wonder what kind of bold thing you could say this Christmas. I don't know how you would say it, but maybe it could be as little as, you know, Christmas is a great time for a churchy. I really do love getting together with my family, but the best thing is about Christmas, it helps me focus on Jesus, and I need help to focus. Christmas presents and food are good, but man, I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't a Christian. What is the bold thing you might be able to do because of Christian hope? Even when Christmas, when life is not so good, hope is powerful. In the midst of what can be great or awful days, Christian hope gives us the strength to be patient. In the midst of boredom, when we get to Boxing Day and we go, well, that's over, now what? Remember our Christian hope. When the fights happen, for some families, they'll be actually fist fights. For others, it will be the awkward relational tension that has never healed. And in those times, your Christian hope tells you that conflict and sin will one day be over. In the face of your own failures, maybe this year you did that thing again you said you weren't going to, or you didn't do the thing that you said you would. Well, you have a Savior and a Liberator. You can hope. In the midst of broken families, you have a forever family in the Lord Jesus. In the face of your own frailty, as your body ages, as the sickness gets on top of you, the one who liberates from death has won. Christian hope is confidence that Jesus can and will do what he said. So be patient and bold on the path to our future. Hope makes a difference. If you don't have hope, you're gone. Having hope can get you through anything. Let me pray. Our Father, we thank you for being so kind as to send your Son, the Lord Jesus, as that baby for the Liberator to come. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on that cross for our sin so that we don't have to fear you at all. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being resurrected, the victorious King and Saviour. And those first Christians were delighted in the hope that they now had. It's been passed down to us. And so will you remind us at Christmas, our hope is not just wishful thinking, but its great strength lies in how strong you are and will be. Help us to be patient and bold this Christmas. Not from our own strength, but from the strength of the Lord Jesus, who we honour this morning. Amen.